vast broadcast network. For those of you at home or traveling, I invite you to turn to the church's Facebook page. There you can find a bulletin and sing and follow along with us. And if you'll turn to the announcements, there are several to be emphasized. One, a congregational meeting next week where we will elect officers. I remind you that nominations can be taken from the floor, but Laura Allgood and Leanna, who are serving unexpired terms, have agreed to serve another full term, and Susan Bisson has agreed to serve as clerk. A strong lineup. And after the meeting, there'll be a meal next week. I hope you'll RSVP and join us. And it is stewardship season, and beginning today and running for 3 weeks, we'll emphasize the importance of giving of ourselves for the purposes of God through the church. If you were here last week, you know what a great celebration that was. And I want to thank Beverly in particular and Pam, but all those people. Barian, who led us in, and the choir who did such a great job. It was a great, great week. We left the tartans up because some of you missed last week due to COVID or other conflicts. It is a festive time, and again, I thank all those who participated. If you haven't had a chance, Catherine's Great History of the Church is out in the Commons, and I hope you'll pick up a copy and take it and read it. It will help you appreciate our long history. Now, let me say at the end, the final hymn will be one that is Steve Farah's request. That having been said, and given the recent experience of our friend Todd Johnson and the Varnell authorities, I need to say that I have neither asked for nor received any benefit from playing Steve's requested hymn, just so we know. If you haven't looked already, look inside the back cover of your bulletin. There have been many pictures shared, but you'll see there a picture of our great crew assembled last week, noteworthy for many reasons, but I hope with a magnifying glass and later with a much bigger picture, you'll be able to see yourself. It was a great day, and I thank all who participated. Are there other announcements that need to be made? Yes, Mike. Yes, if you realize on the first hymn that, there we go, here's Barian needs one. And Ill, it's great to see you in the midst of your church family and your own family. We are so glad to have the Savannah delegation with us today. If there are no other announcements, then let's share the peace. The peace of Christ be with you all. Greet your neighbors warmly.
Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. And let us pray. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. The proof of God's amazing love is this: while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Because we have faith in him, we dare to approach God with confidence. In faith, penitence, let us confess our sin before God and one another, praying first in silence. And together we pray. Almighty God, freely forgives all who repent, turn to thee. Fulfill now in every contrite heart your promise of redeeming grace, absolving us from all our sins, and delivering us from doubt and fear through the perfect sacrifice of Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you.
anyone who is in Christ is a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. Know that you are forgiven and be at peace. Amen.
Be seated, and will the children please come forward? Good morning, good morning. Hannah and Haynes, let me ask you a question. What do you want to be when you grow up?
An artist?
Well, I know what your brother wants to be. Yes, he wants to be a golfer, right?
He's already a golfer.
Yeah, he is already. Well, it's kind of interesting when we look at the people around us, the grown-ups who are out of school now and what they do. Your parents are both lawyers, so they help a lot of people in that way. You go to school and you have teachers. You go to the doctor and see doctors. As a matter of fact, the last hymn we'll sing today talks about all of the things we can be, doctors and teachers and caregivers. It's really a way to express who we're made to be, to find our place in society, and then to do it well so that everybody benefits. Whatever our jobs are, whether they're in the home or outside the home or some of both. You look like you got a Band-Aid on there. Did you hurt your hand?
No, I got a Band-Aid.
Ah, okay. Well, it's important for you as you go along, whether you wind up being an artist or a golfer or other things, because you'll change your mind along. It's important to say, whatever I wind up being, I'm going to do it in such a way that it's good for other people and for the world. Once I asked that question, and a little boy, a little older than you two, when I said, what do you want to be? He said, I want to be a paleontologist. And I remember saying, oh, I can dig it. I look forward to seeing what all the Granillo children turn out to be and all the children in our congregation. I'm very confident it will be a better world as you grow up and become part of it. Okay, I think that would be a good thing. Let's have our prayer together, okay? You join with us and repeat after me. Dear God, thank you for the opportunities to be who I'm made to be. Please help me to know the best thing to do to make the world a better place and to find my way in it. Amen.
Jesus. I got this assignment from my wife. I was trying to kind of think what to say, and I focused a little bit on giving thanks. So it's Sunday in the fall in the South. So Walter and Julie give thanks for Georgia's beating Tennessee yesterday. Bob Hubb, Steve Sides, and I give thanks for Tech just winning. Catherine gives thanks for NC State beating Wake Forest. And there are others who have other schools out there who give thanks for their victory or whatever. But I was thinking, as a congregation, we have lots of things to give thanks for. We got a wonderful choir that we enjoy every Sunday. We've got programs that we support out in the community, Alice's reading program being one of them. We've got beautiful facilities that we're blessed to use every Sunday. And as a congregation, we're blessed to have more resources than many of our neighbors have. So each of us has some specific other item that they want to give thanks for or should give thanks for. But as all of you know, to have a beautiful building and to support the choir and to do things in the community takes money. So we're at the time of the year where everyone is going to be asked to make some contribution to the church so we can carry on those programs. So what I'm up here to say is, when it gets to be time to fill out the pledge card or make however the commitment is communicated, that you remember the many things that you've got to be thankful for and be generous in your contribution. Thanks.
As we prepare to hear God's word for us in Scripture, let us pray. O Spirit of the living God, holy, wise, and mighty, come now and fill our hearts with love for our neighbors, our minds with insights into the problems we face, and our limbs and lives with strength for the journey ahead. We ask through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our first scripture this morning comes from the book of Psalms, chapter 17. Listen for God's word. Hear a just cause, O Lord, attend to my cry. Give ear to my prayer from lips free of deceit. From you let my vindication come. Let your eyes see the right. If you try my heart, if you visit me by night, if you test me, you will find no wickedness in me. My mouth does not transgress. As for what others do by the word of your lips, I have avoided the ways of the violent. My steps have held fast to your path. My feet have not slipped. I call upon you, for you will answer me, O God. Incline your ear to me. Hear my words. Wondrously show your steadfast love. O Savior of those who seek refuge from their adversaries, at your right hand. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you.
Our second scripture passage comes from Thessalonians. Give ear to the word. You yourselves know, brothers and sisters, that our coming to you was not in vain. But though we had already suffered and been shamefully mistreated at Philippi, as you know, we had courage in our God to declare to you the gospel of God in spite of great oppositions. For our appeal does not spring from deceit or impure motives or trickery, but just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the message of the gospel, even so we speak not to please mortals, but to please God, who tests our hearts. As you know, and as God is our witness, we never came with words of flattery or with the pretext for greed, nor did we seek praise from mortals, whether from you or from others, though we might have demanded as apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, like a nurse tenderly caring for her own children. So deeply do we care for you that we are determined to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you have become very dear to us. We also constantly give thanks to God for this, that when you received the word of God that you heard from us, you accepted it not as a human word, but as what it really is, God's word, which is also at work in you believers. For you, brothers and sisters, became imitators of the churches of God in Christ Jesus that are in Judea. For you suffered the same thing from your own compatriots as they did from the Jews, who killed both the Lord Jesus and the prophets and drove us out. They displeased God and opposed everyone by hindering us from speaking to the Gentiles so that they might be saved. This is the word of the Lord. When the time changes, this is one of the two Sundays each year when the time changes. It might one of these days be the last legislated seasonal change, but right now it's bogged down in Congress. There is, of course, online and otherwise much discussion about daylight savings time. Those in favor of it say it is more efficient. Work should begin when the light is on, that it's economic, that it may save power. And certainly it is the case that it might give us more recreational hours after work. It was thought that it would help farmers, but for the most part, farmers are against it because they say, well, the cows don't have clocks, and the dew drives when it does. And someone estimated that we kill 30,000 more deer by driving an hour early in the light that is unexpected. And you may know from personal experience that our sleep rhythms are delicate things. Spring forward, fall back is kind of a history lesson in itself. And when we think of history, we look back at the last 6 weeks and our summary of our history. We began talking about the Reformation. New knowledge of the Bible, now printed and available, gave increased understanding. We talked about Calvin and Knox and being saved by faith and not works. We saw how our understanding of the sacraments and church organization and the notion of priesthood of all believers came to light. New knowledge of Scripture let us know that the time had changed, and we, the church, changed with it. Long after slavery ended, people of color were disadvantaged. Separate but equal was never equal. Healthcare was not equal, neither was education or housing or opportunity in general. It was Presbyterians here and across the country who worked to end segregation in schools and the workplace and the voting booth. Both our national constitution and our sense of justice awakened us to the fact that The time had changed, and we changed with it. From biblical times, the role of women had been limited by our traditional view from the Garden of Eden and its implications. This patriarchal understanding of society denied women an education, a vocation, a voice. Yet the day came when the ability of the individual and the needs of society and of the church opened our minds to the mothers and sisters and daughters and our need for them to have the right for full fulfillment using their gifts and interests as they are led. They spoke and made clear that the time had changed, and we changed with it. Reformation, integration, liberation, and when the time changes, we change with it. Let me say a word about inclusion. The Apostle Paul had a life-changing experience on the road to Damascus, and after a period of time of reflection, he became the apostle to the Gentiles. He traveled widely around the Mediterranean. With reference to the Messiah, he made clear that Jesus had come and showed us God's way. You can read about it in Acts chapter 17. He made his case, and some believed, and some who believed were Gentiles, at that point excluded. Paul spent his Sabbath days arguing that the scripture made it clear that Jesus came to suffer and die to offer new life to everybody. That was good news for most, but for some, they were jealous or threatened, or this seemed counter to the knowledge they had at the time. They even said in complaint about Paul that he's turned the world upside down. But this was another of those occasions that the time was changing, and some recognized its significance, and others did not, at least yet. The term Gentile meant those who were excluded. That forces us to ask in our day and time, who might we be excluding today? From church families, yes, sometimes, sadly, sometimes in our own families, despite a shared belief in Jesus. There were a couple about my age. They joined our church in the Atlanta area. He had serious heart problems, and we prayed for him. Good people, fun to be with, three children. When their son announced that he was gay, that was a shock. When he asked if he could bring his partner to Thanksgiving meal, they said no. And the son took his life. And the heart of the father for whom we had prayed was broken. She was the mother of four and very devout. Indeed, she left my church at one point and decided to go to another more conservative, and she decided to homeschool her children. I kept up with her because her oldest was in Boy Scouts. And she came to me one day in tears because after all her efforts, he declared to the family that he was gay. Yet despite the tears, her love for him, though she did not understand fully, was sufficient that she embraced him, and the family went on seeking as a group to understand more about each other. Sarah Cunningham, two sons, one gay. On a Saturday in 2015, she made a homemade button with the words "Free Mom Hugs" and pinned it on her sundress. She went to a pride parade, and whenever she made eye contact with somebody, she invited them over for a hug. The first who came was a pretty girl. She embraced, Sarah says, and the girl whispered in my ear, "It has been 4 years since I got a hug from my mom. The struggle of parents and children over this and personal gender identity can be agonizing. These are issues of orientation and reorientation that arise in society and among our own children. And our response must always be love as we become better informed for their sake and for our own. In my own experience in life and in ministry, I have walked with many people who seem to be other because of nature, born a certain way. It was innate to them, as natural to them as anyone else. For others, sexual orientation was perhaps a matter of confusion or lack of nurture. I always suggested professional counseling, a kind of aid in self-examination, therapy good for individuals and families alike, where it can lead to revelation and certainly help to maintain relationships. I know a father who sat each of his children down in time and said, make a good decision. It was his way of saying, be sure that your hormones are in harmony with your best judgment, your faith, and your future. You know that each of us is an individual, each with our own DNA, our biochemistry, our family upbringing, a series of social environments and personal experiences which influence our develop as we grow. And if we are blessed, we are surrounded by people who grow with us, give us guidance and feedback and encouragement, and most of all, love. Like a home and a family, the church gives guidance and encouragement to children, all our children of every age. Through scripture, fellowship, and example, the church helps in our formation. But in the end, what matters most is that we express the love of God through our actions as the church. After all the lessons and sermons and casserole suppers and Christmas concerts and Easter sunrises and all the rest, we each need to know that God loves us even when we struggle together and sometimes find it hard to understand. Yet in that effort to honor each individual, we are partners, learning with and from each other, and all the while loving each other. We as a congregation have a long and affirming history summarized in our aspirations to love first, love all. Thus, we must, like Paul, seek the salvation of all God's children by opening wide our doors and our hearts, particularly on a day like this. We know inside us the time has changed. While we stand, let us affirm what we believe using the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. As the ushers come forward now to receive our tithes and offering. Table, it is a table for all those who know Jesus a little and want to know him more, to appreciate in a different, a tangible way the sacrifice he made on our behalf, to come down the aisle as a kind of response to his love, to indicate our own and our commitment to him. Let us join together in the great thanksgiving printed in your bulletin. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Holy God, we praise you. Let the heavens be joyful and the earth be glad. We bless you for creating the whole world, for your promises to your people Israel, and for Jesus Christ in whom your fullness dwells. Born of Mary, he shares our life. Eating with sinners, he welcomes us. Guiding his children, he leads us. visiting the sick, he heals us. Dying on the cross, he saves us. Risen from the dead, he gives new life. Living with you, he prays for us. With thanksgiving, we take this bread and this cup and proclaim the death and resurrection of our Lord. Receive our sacrifice of praise. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, that this meal may be a communion of the body and blood of our Lord. Make us one with Christ and with all who share this feast. Unite us in faith. Encourage us with hope. Inspire us to love, that we may serve as your faithful disciples until we feast at your table in glory. We praise you, eternal God, through Christ, your word made flesh in the holy and life-giving Spirit, now and forever. Amen. We recall that on the night when Jesus was betrayed, he gathered with those he loved as we are gathered. And in the course of the meal, he took from the table before him a loaf, and breaking the bread, he said to them, "This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And likewise, in the course of the meal, he took a cup and pouring said, "This is the blood of the new covenant, shed for many for the forgiveness of sins." He said, "As often as you eat this bread and you receive this cup, you show forth my love until we are united again." Thus, the meal has been prepared by our Lord and other loving hands, and he invites you now to come and to receive. The meal is ready. You will make your way down, take a piece of bread, and dip it in the cup called intinction, and use the time to think about him and the sacrifice required to set forth this table. Come now, all is in readiness. Slide that way a little better, a little bit more. There we go. The blood of Christ, Andrew. The body of Christ, Hannah, makes us all together. The cup of salvation, Jeff. Christ's blood shed for you, Marion. The blood of salvation.
can go back to the table. If you'll put that down, yes. Sally, I'll take that. The cup of salvation.
Pray. We give you thanks, O God, for the sacrifice of our Savior and the power by which he makes us one in his name. We give thanks that we are together and we remember those separated from us by distance or illness, or perhaps because they've never been welcomed. Send us your children, O Lord, those searching for a home. Let them find it here with us. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Let us join together in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I remind those who are on the session of a brief meeting in the session room after worship. And for you, wherever this week takes you, I remind you to be a saint to those around you. Looking at your faces, for some, that will be hard. but I have great confidence. That said, may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, now and forever. Amen.